Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until almost until midnight that Sunday night. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon here, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. I hope you're listening in the last half hour, Pastor Lutz, talking about the anti-Semitism bill that just made it out of the House. And, I was going to touch on that a little bit, but I'm going to forego that and just encourage you to, if you get a chance, go back and find that and listen to that. But he did a good in-depth look at that. So I'm not going to spend too much time mentioning that, other than there may have been some good intentions, but there's a door that's left wide open for people with bad intentions. And I'm a free speech individual. I believe that the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights was added to it for a reason. I believe it was Baptists that were responsible, and certainly you can see the history behind the Bill of Rights, and there's a lot of information that you can find on that. But when we look at the Bill of Rights, the first one, of course, people like to talk about free speech, and I'll read that here in just a minute, but I want to open in a word of prayer before we get too far off, because if I get into that right now, I'll forget about praying, and I think we need to do that, and then we'll get started here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program today. And pray that you would use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for all these things, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's Suite 200. It's in a little commercial strip, and right where Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road intersect in Richfield, near where 271 and 77 meet midway between Akron and Cleveland, and love to have you come out and visit us. You can come out tonight. We have our Friday night Bible study every Friday night from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and if you can stay for the whole thing, that's great. If you can only stay for half of it, that's fine too. It doesn't matter, but we'd love to have you come out, and you can also find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out, of course, more about me, more about the radio program. You can listen to past programs there. You can listen to our Sunday night program. We've got 2 hours on Sunday night, every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight, right here on AM 1220 The Word. And those are loaded into the website as 1 hour programs. So we've got, I'm current to, let's see here, through, it looks like April 28th is the last program that I've got listed there, Sunday, April 28th. And then, of course, Friday, April 26th, the last Friday that's on there. And in addition to that, you can find a link, as I said, to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can find out more about us there. You can also link or see some articles and things that I have there. Latest article that I've got up there is an article on the fig tree titled "Behold the Fig Tree." And the fig tree, very interesting look at. Remember when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, and he rode in on the donkey, and he got in, he went in, and he compare all the gospel accounts, and you'll see that several things happened over a period of several days. The first day when he went in, he basically looked around on the Temple Mount, saw what was going on, and then he returned back to Bethany where he was staying, and then the next morning he headed back to Jerusalem, and that's the day, I believe, when he purged the temple and drove out the money changers and all that. But on the way in, he saw a fig tree that was along the road as he came near Bethphage, which ironically, that's the house of the fig. And he was saw his fig tree, and he looked on it and thought there might be some fruit on it. He said, well, wait a minute, he's Jesus. Wouldn't he know if there's fruit or not? Well, of course he would. There's a lesson that he teaches through that, and the tree is fruitless. And I'll talk more about that maybe at another time, but he curses the fig tree and it withers up. And in this article, Behold the Fig Tree, I look at the prophetic implication of that. Why did he curse the fig tree for being fruitless? And why did it dry up? And then looking at in Luke 21 and some other passages where he says, Behold the fig tree as it shoots forth its leaves and all. And he uses that as a prophetic thing. And I think the two are related. And I hope you'll take a look at our article, Behold the Fig Tree. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find that. But that's not what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about some things that I've been hearing and I wanted to address. As I said, Pastor Lutz did a masterful job talking about the legislation there that just went through the House in terms of dealing with anti-Semitic speech. And on one hand, some people might have had some good intentions, but I fear there might be some dangers. Not that I'm an anti-Semite, our church is anything but. In fact, I'm going to be talking here about why Bible-believing Christians should not and cannot be anti-Semites. And if somebody claims to be a Bible-believing Christian and says that they hate the Jews, well, they've got a problem. They're very selective, I guess, in what they believe in the Bible. So we're going to touch on that in just a minute. But as I'm going to say, I'm a free speech individual. Amendment 1 of the United States Constitution says Congress shall make no law rejecting the establishment of religion, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon. I'm giving you the apostrophes and semicolons, all that, so that you know the punctuation, so that you know it's all one sentence. Or bridging the or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon. Or bridging the freedom of speech, comma. Or of the press, semicolon. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, comma. And to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The reason I read that with the punctuation, as I said, so you can see it's all one sentence. And the intent here was to defend the primary subject of the First Amendment, which is freedom of religion. And in order to protect freedom of religion, you must have free speech. You must have a free press, freedom of the press. You must have the right to peaceably assemble. And you must have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. You take any of those things away and you remove freedom of religion. And I say freedom of religion, yes, I am a born-again Christian. I'm the pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church. But yet at the same time, this does allow people to have beliefs different than what I have. This allows people to have beliefs contrary to what I have. This allows people to have no beliefs whatsoever or to believe weird things. And so we look at this, there's freedom of religion. And not only that, it also means people should be free to say stupid things. And I'm kind of reluctant. You know, a few years back when flag burning, people were reacting about flag burning. Now, I'm a veteran of the United States. I've served under the flag in the United States Air Force. And I look back on my United States Air Force service as what actually got me in the ministry today. And that's why I'm really pro and remembering about what I did and where I served and the fact that I was in, because if it weren't for that, I don't know what I would be doing today. You know, I might have stayed in the Air Force, but it was through the Air Force that God got a hold of my heart. I think that's odd. Well, yeah, look at it this way. If God can use Balaam's donkey to accomplish some good, he can use the military to accomplish some good too. And it's through the Air Force that I'm in the ministry today. And I'm thankful for that. But, you know, I say all that because I don't like to see somebody burn the flag. And I celebrate and salute those fraternity guys that rescued the flag when the Hamas supporters were trying to take it down the other day. But if somebody wants to burn a flag, guess what? They have the freedom to do it. I like what one guy said. Well, they have the freedom to express themselves by burning the flag. I have the freedom to express myself by punching them in the nose to defend the flag. But that's a whole other area. So what I'm getting at is we have freedom of speech, and I'm reluctant to look at something that is an open-ended thing, as Pastor Lutz brought out, that you can drive a truck through to deny people the ability to proclaim what they believe and why they believe. Some of the things that people believe might be stupid, might be ridiculous, might even be ugly and hateful, but they do have the freedom to say it. I should also have the freedom to say I don't agree with it. And anytime we start tampering with free speech, I look at it as a threat, ultimately, to my freedom to be able to do what I'm doing right now and my freedom to be able to serve the Lord as a Christian, as a pastor. So I defend free speech. And so while I'm against anti-Semitism and I stand for Israel and the Jewish people, I also realize that we need to be careful when we put into law things regulating what people can or cannot say. I wanted to go back to Genesis chapter 12 here, and I just sort of get where all this kind of starts. And I heard some incredibly stupid things on the radio this past week. I don't know why. I just happened to turn on to a station and a local station, and people were calling in and talking. And one person I heard, this was earlier in the week, said that when Abraham arrived in the land of Canaan, and then the Jewish people drove out the Canaanites, who were the Arabs. And so they drove the Arabs out of the land. And the guy that said that said that, you know, well, I've been all around the world, and I've looked at it, and I thought, this guy's an idiot. He said that the Canaanites were Arabs, and that when Abraham arrived there and Abraham's descendants drove out the Arabs. Well, you got to understand something. The Arabs are descendants from Abraham. There were no Arabs when Abraham went into the land of Canaan. The Canaanites and the people who were there were not a Semitic people, which the Arabs are. They're descended from Abraham, who's descended from Shem, makes them a Semitic people. The Canaanites were a Hamitic people. They were descended from Noah's son Ham, not Noah's son Shem. Excuse me. So they're not even Semites. They're or Semitic people. They're not. And they certainly aren't Arabs. Absolute idiocy that this guy said. And the host was like, "Oh, I don't know about that." He wasn't so sure himself. Then I heard another guy a few days later say that Jacob was an Arab, okay? Jacob was an Arab. And when his brother Esau was off to war, he came back and he was all beat up and bruised and everything from and bloody from being in war. And he was famished. And his brother Jacob made him sell his birthright for some food. Now, in the first place, Esau wasn't off at war unless he was fighting with a wild animal or something, because he was off hunting. And he was hungry because he wasn't very productive in his hunting. And Jacob sold him, he sold his birthright to his brother Jacob, that's true, but he really didn't care for his birthright that much. That also was evident as well. But neither of them were, quote, Arabs. They were Semitic people. They were descended from Abraham. They were the grandsons of Abraham through his son Isaac. The Arabs, for the most part, came from Abraham's son Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham's wife Sarah's handmaiden Hagar. And Ishmaelites became the Arabs. Esau, of course, his descendants became the Edomites. But let me get back to dumb things I heard on the radio. The guy that was saying that Esau was off to war said that Jacob later changed his name to Israel, and that's where the Jewish people came from, because he decided, to identify as Israel, no longer as an Arab. And absolutely stupid. God changed his name to Israel, just like God changed Abram's name to Abraham, and then told Abraham that he was going to have a son of promise, who was Isaac, not Ishmael, and that this son was going to be the one through all the nations of the world would be blessed. That comes from Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, where it starts here in verse 1, saying, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And this is where this idea comes from. This is the blessing that God gave to Abram before he changed his name to Abraham. And the promise there that he would give him a son, and that through him he would make a great nation, make his name great. Now that son, of course, was Isaac. And you can see that over in Genesis chapter 27, the continuation of this. Let me go over to Genesis chapter 27 here. And it says in verse number, let's see here, Isaac is the one being addressed by Abraham here. And being addressed by Jacob. I'm going to get myself turned around here. Isaac is addressing Jacob. I'll get myself turned around. See, somebody said one time I got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying. And so Isaac has given a blessing here to Abraham, or I'm sorry, to Jacob. I really got my names messed up now. And Jacob has disguised himself as his brother Esau, and Jacob Isaac actually thinks that he's blessing Jacob Esau at first, but he's actually blessing Jacob. And Jacob's mother, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was in on this, and this is not something that we condone. God would have seen it to it that the blessing went to Jacob, because that's where it was supposed to go, but they, thinking they knew better than God, and we'll come back to that in a minute, but as a part of the blessing, Isaac says to Jacob, "Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." And so there's this idea again of a blessing on those that bless the Jewish people, and a cursing on those that curse the Jewish people. And that was first found when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. It's repeated for us here in Genesis chapter 27. If you go over to the book of Numbers, you'll find it again in the book of Numbers chapter 24. And here we're in the interesting case where Balaam is hired by Balak to curse Israel, and he finds himself unable to do it. God will not allow him to do it, and instead he ends up blessing Israel. Now, again, he's looking down at the Jewish people. And it says in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 9, what Balaam says about Israel, he says, "He coucheth, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee," meaning the Jewish people. Now, Balak was not happy with that. He had hired Balaam to curse Israel and ends up blessing Israel instead. But that was God's intervention. We've got another look at this in the little book of Obadiah, where we can see a hint of this as well. In the little book of Obadiah, there's only one chapter, but if we come down in Obadiah, that first chapter to, let's see here, down to verse number 15, it says this, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done," and let me give you the context here, "as thou hast done to Israel," is what he's talking about here, "as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee, thy reward shall return upon thine own head," meaning that God would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And let me give you one more in let's see, let's go back to Psalms. Psalm 122. Let me get over there. Psalm 122. And let's drop down to verse number 6, where it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And that's half of it right there, God blessing those that bless Israel. And so we need to understand this. And so wherein is the conflict? Where does this come from? Why the hatred of the Arabs and the Muslims in particular? And the Muslim religion, of course, started out of Arabia with Muhammad. Well, let me come back to Genesis chapter 21 here. In Genesis chapter 21, we see where Ishmael is now about 13 years old, the son of Hagar, and God has blessed Abraham and Sarah with the son of promise, which is Isaac, and Isaac is being weaned, and they're having a celebration for this, and it says in verse 8, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast. The same day Isaac was weaned, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which he had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son, meaning because of Ishmael, which was his son. Excuse me. Well, here's what was going on here. Under the customs and laws of the day, and you can see this actually in the laws of Hammurabi, and also there's another guy, Lipdit Ishtar, who was influential at that time as well, that if a man has a child from one of the bondwomen, the child could be in line to inherit. So Ishmael legitimately would have been the firstborn child and in line to inherit the lion's share of Abraham's goods and possessions. And this would give, you know, legitimacy to the Arabs saying that the land belongs to them because Ishmael. Except for what we read here, when Sarah demanded that Hagar be given her freedom, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Why did she do that? It's because she did not want Ishmael to inherit anything. Ishmael was laughing and mocking in some sense when they were celebrating Isaac, and it could be that he was saying, well, they're making a big deal about this kid today, but I'm the firstborn. And as he was mocking, she realized a couple of things. She didn't want Ishmael to have any claims to inherit anything. She wanted to get rid of him. So by giving Hagar her freedom, again, under the laws and the customs of the day, it meant that any children that she had born, if somebody gave their bondwoman freedom, any children born to their master would be disinherited. So by giving Hagar her freedom, it effectively disinherited Ishmael. He no longer had any legitimate claims on anything of Abraham's, and that's why the thing was grievous, very grievous, in Abraham's sight because of his son. He realized the cost of getting rid of Hagar, giving her her freedom, and casting her out meant that Ishmael would inherit nothing. And it was grievous to him. God, in fact, reassures Abraham in verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac, get that? God himself is telling Abraham that the Abrahamic blessing from Genesis chapter 12 is going not to Ishmael, but to Isaac. And then we saw in chapter 27 where that blessing, that Abrahamic blessing, then went from Abraham to Isaac, went to Jacob, not Esau. Now there's more to it, and we've gone through a lot really fast here, but the legitimate claim to the land is that of the Jewish people. Israel is a legitimate state. I urge you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I urge you to pray for the Jewish people. How anybody can read this and study this and be anti-Semitic is beyond me as a Bible-believing Christian. Because to curse Israel is to bring curses upon yourself. But at the same time, we know they need to be saved. And one day, all Israel shall embrace Christ, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. We're out of time now, but I want to thank you for listening. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.